My name is Jake. I'm one of the youth pastors here, and I am just really excited to continue on in this series called Eyes Open. That Bo got off to just a great start last week, and I'm excited to jump in. Go ahead and reach out under your chairs and grab that handout with a pen. That's going to be something you can take notes during this little talk. There'll be some verses on there we're going to talk about. Go ahead and grab those, and let's just jump in. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for all these amazing, amazing, uniquely made, designed, precious to your heart, students. And I pray that you would come and be with us tonight, Lord. Thank you that you're always just inviting us to more relationship with you. Would you help us get to know you better tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. You guys know how there's like a pretty big difference between knowing about something and like knowing something. Like information versus like experience. I don't know, probably a good amount of you guys don't have your licenses yet, but it was a different thing for me. Like, you know, I've seen my parents drive, like I'd, you know, done a little driving in the Rose Bowl parking lot before, but then I was in the car with my instructor and I was on the freeway and I was like, I'm driving. This is driving, right? Or I don't know, maybe how many track athletes are in this room? Anybody? All right, well, let me just say really quick, for those of you who don't run track, like, somebody could tell you what an 800-meter race is, but until you run an 800-meter race, you have no idea what an 800-meter race is like because it's so painful. Another example I have is I went bungee jumping when I was in college, and it's like, yeah, like, I've seen bungee jumping. I've seen YouTube videos. Like, you tie this, like, stretchy rope to your legs, and you jump off the cliff or whatever. But then I was on the bridge that I was jumping off. I'm like, okay, this is bungee jumping, right? Like, this is not good. And then I had to jump, and then I knew bungee jumping, right? I experienced it. I knew what it was. I think a pretty good example of this whole idea is also food. You know, like, really quick, I feel like I can't just, like, do this and not share. So look under your chairs, and if you have a blue sticky note under your chair, you come up and get a Krispy Kreme donut with me really quick. Come on up. Not yet, not yet. Hey, Mason, no, come on up, come on up, come on up. Don't eat it yet, don't eat it yet, but grab one. Don't eat it yet, but grab one. Come on up. Come up, come up. Come on up quick. Don't eat it yet, don't eat it yet. Hey, we're going to eat this all together, okay? So, hey, guys, line up like right here. Line up on the front. So, listen, guys, listen, everybody. Listen. Grab your donut. Let's line up. Let's line up. Don't eat it yet. So you guys... you guys could tell us, guys, Krispy Kreme donuts are delicious. They, like, melt in your mouth and they're warm. But then, when we actually eat it, it's like, oh, now I know what a Krispy Kreme donut is like. Go ahead, guys, take your seats. You're good. Enjoy it. There's one more. Does anybody want this? Go ahead and sit down, Mason. You're done, buddy. So, there's a difference. There's a difference between knowing about and knowing, right? The difference can be really extreme. And the truth we want to talk about tonight is that it's the same with God. There's a difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. And there's this guy in the Bible who really learned this. His name's Job. Maybe you guys have heard of him. Job was an amazing guy, super well-respected. He had everything, right? And then all of a sudden, really quickly, he went from having everything and being the man to losing so much. He lost his children. He lost his means of income. He lost his health really fast. There's this picture we get of him just sitting in ashes, and he's got just like pieces of pottery, and he's just scraping the boils off of his skin, like just miserable. And in the Bible, in the book of Job, there's just these chapters and chapters of why is Job suffering? Is it because he deserves this, or is it because God's got some plan? Like, what the heck is going on? They're wrestling. Why is he suffering so much? And then finally, God shows up. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've studied Job, but I wish so bad that God would have come in the book of Job and been like, this is why suffering happens, and this is why all these bad things in the world happened. But God didn't do that for some reason. Instead, he confronts Job for some of his self-righteousness and thinking he could understand everything. He says, Job, where were you when I made the world? Where were you when I formed the foundations of the world? You can't understand the mysteries of life like this. And we see Job, and he's just stunned by God and all that God is, right? He's just like, oh my gosh. And then Job says this incredible thing after meeting with God. He says, God, I had only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. In that story, Job's eyes were opened, and he went from knowing some things about God, hearing about God, to knowing God, to experiencing him. And I'm wondering tonight, have you guys ever had an eyes open moment like that, where you met with God and God became so much more real to you? And it went from knowing about and something people had told you about to, man, I experienced God. I've told this story before, but I'll never forget, and I'm so thankful for this moment. I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's a pretty popular book by this guy named Rick Warren. I was at college. I had my longboard with me. I longboarded to this kind of pretty spot, and I was just reading this book. I think classes were going on, but I didn't have a class in that period. So I was just reading, and all of a sudden, Rick Warren, he was talking about just God's love. And I'd heard a million sermons probably on God's love, right? But then he put it in a different way than I'd ever heard it. And for some reason, it was just an eyes-opening moment for me. And he said, basically, Jesus loved you so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without you. And so he died for you. And I can't totally explain it, guys. But in that moment, I was just like, oh my God. Like, I can't. Like, God, if that's actually true, like, if it's actually true that there's a God and you love every single person I will ever look at so much that you don't want to spend eternity without them, that you would die for them. If that's true, then I have to make my life all about that. And it was just this moment for me where God became so much more real to me. And it wasn't just something my parents had told me or my youth pastor told me of God loves you a lot. It was this moment where I knew God and I met with God. And I'll never be the same. My eyes were opened. Do you remember what Job said? I'd heard about you, God, but now I've seen you. Check out the way The Message translates that. The Message is a translation of the Bible. He says, I admit, I once lived on rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll never do that again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumors. And see, students, I'm just here tonight to tell you, God has so much more for you than crumbs of hearsay and crumbs of rumors when it comes to your relationship with God. But I have to admit that there's so many of us Christians who are pretending to be satisfied and pretending to be okay with crusts of rumor and crusts of hearsay, and it breaks my heart. And I've got to be honest, because I feel that way a lot too. So if you feel that way, you're not alone. But I come to you tonight with my whole heart believing God has more for all of us than crumbs. He's got the real deal for us. But what am I talking about? Experiencing God. Like, how do we live on more than just breadcrumbs and crusts of rumor, crumbs of hearsay? What does that actually look like? How do we do that? Just a couple thoughts. I think it's true when Jesus says, he says, seek and you'll find, ask and you'll receive, knock and the door will be open to you. And it's not always, what I found in my life, it doesn't always look like, God, I'm seeking in this way, so I should find in this way. It doesn't always line up in the way, but I really believe that as people and as people trying to follow Jesus, we've got to make time and space to actually seek God, to look for him, to ask him to show up, to ask to experience him and to know him, not just know about him, right? There's been times in my life where it's not just my, like, a quiet time that I have, but, like, I really need God on, like, a decision-making or something that I'm going through, so I spend some more time just praying, and maybe I didn't even get the answer in that moment, but, gosh, like, I felt closer to Jesus after that, right? we have time for our priorities, right? And we've got to learn, if we want to experience God, to live on more than crumbs of rumor and hearsay, we've got to make our relationship with God a priority and allow space and time for him. In Scripture, there's a connection between obedience and doing the things that Jesus calls us to do and knowing him, right? So loving our neighbor, instead of getting back on somebody and hating them or whatever, if they do something wrong to you, to forgive them. And not just to get stepped on, but to learn, figure out what it means to forgive and to love them. When we take those action steps, there's a connection there. We come to know God and experience him. If there's major sins in our life that we're just like refusing and rejecting God in to keep doing, that's going to be something that can hold us back from experiencing all that God has for us. And don't hear me say you have to be perfect or even doing well to experience God. That's not what I'm saying. But just don't be flat out rejecting and ignoring God, right? I think it's big taking steps, stepping out and taking risks in our faith, right? It's like, I have this picture in my head, I can't fully describe it, but it's like when we're like jumping or something, and then like God meets us as we're jumping, you know? Like it's this thing where like as we take those steps of faith, he comes and we experience him, even if it's not in the way that we imagine. And another one is have faith. Believe that God wants to meet with you, and God wants more than I do. God wants more than you do for you guys to know God and to experience him, not just to know God. Believe that he does it. Believe that you can hear his voice. I want to talk about that for just a second, because people can get so confused on what is it like to hear God's voice. And right before, I had the opportunity to go travel a bunch this summer, and it was right before I left to go to Tanzania to be at my buddy's wedding, to be a groomsman at his wedding. And I was kind of honestly, I wish I was feeling more excited about going on this trip, but I was just kind of like a little burned out on traveling and just feeling tired, and so I was just like really not even that much looking forward to go, I'm sad to say. And so my parents and my family, they just, the night before I left, they just came and they just prayed for me. And when they were praying for me, I just kind of had this thought where God was kind of saying to me, like, Jake, but I'm taking you to Africa. Like, I have good things for you in Africa. I've got something for you to see in Africa. Come away with me, right? And so it wasn't something that I just, like, God said, come away with me, Jake. That was like, whoa. It was a thought, right? God speaks to us through our thoughts and these impressions on our hearts, some people call it, right? So I had these thoughts of like, come away with me, Jake, to Africa. I'm taking you. Get excited about that. And so I could have been like, Jake, you are making that up. But because it lined up with Scripture and I checked it, you know, I told my family about it, and they thought, man, like, that sounds awesome, you know? And it was encouraging and affirming to me. I chose to believe. I believe that that was God. You know, and so I went on the trip, and it ended up being a really fun trip. I had an awesome time, and then I'm there. I'm standing right behind my buddy who's getting married as a groomsman. You know, got my hands behind my back, and I'm just like watching this beautiful thing happen. And then all of a sudden, the pastor who's doing the message, his like main point at the end was the verse from Song of Songs when that verse says, come away with me, right? And I was just like, you know, I was already like emotional from the wedding, and then I was just like, God, like, because you know what? Because then it was like God said to me, like, Jake, yeah, you heard me right. I did say that to you, and I'm always saying to you, come away with me, come be with me. So that was just a thought that I had that lined up with Scripture, you know, and I can check it with people, and it's not heretical. And I chose to believe that was from God, and I really believed that it was. And in that moment, when that happened at the wedding, I was just like, it was a God moment for me. It was an eyes open moment of Jesus became more real to me. I'm closer to Jesus now, right? And, man, Jacob, you can come on down with the team. And we're going to just kind of take a little bit of time to just kind of go for it and worship God and just ask for him to come and for us to just experience him. And one thing I wanted to say, and this is kind of cool and exciting, Sometimes we measure, like, I don't know about you, sometimes we measure our, like, how we're doing with God based on, like, how am I doing on my, like, daily time with God in the Bible or something like that. And whew, I believe in, like, spending time with God every day. I believe in the Bible. I believe we should come to love God's word. But I believe that we all are wired so uniquely and amazingly and beautifully, and God made us to experience him and to connect with him in many different ways. And so maybe there's some people that really connect with God through, like, being in nature, right? And there's some people that really connect with God when they're serving other people. And so maybe if you're somebody who, like, you really connect with God in nature, you shouldn't, like, feel like you have to every day be in the same room, in the same chair, reading the Bible for an hour or whatever, half an hour, and it looks exactly the same. Maybe for a day you should go on a walk outside and pray to God and be with him and experience him there, right? There's this cool book. It's called Sacred Pathways. There should be a picture up there in a second. And I can't recommend the whole thing because I haven't read the whole thing, but it's all about this idea that people are wired differently. They have different, in a sense, spiritual temperaments where we're different, right? So there's, like, the naturalist, like I was talking about. People experience God through nature. There's the activist who people experience God through standing up for justice. There's people, the caregiver, who experience God through connecting with people. And what I'm saying to you is, don't get discouraged if you've, like, you don't feel like you've been experiencing God as much as you have. Like, pay attention to the way when you feel close to God, seek him. Maybe even get this book and read through it and think through some of the different ways that we can experience God. There's this verse, John 17:3, and Jesus kind of just says, like, what life's all about. And he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I just really believe, guys, that there's so much more for all of us. And God is just inviting us all the time. He's saying, listen, it's great that you know some things about me, but I want you so bad. I want you to know me. And so that's the main point of the night. And the first point, you can write in those fill in the blanks if you haven't already. But this year, as we get going, it's the second week of CA students. Let's make this a year where we, as a community, as a family, we decide to know God, not just know about him. Maybe you're like me, and sometimes you feel like, but I've messed up too many times. I've said no to God too many times, and so we're going to worship him now. God's not going to come to me because I've messed up and I've said no to him. I just want to tell you, that's the biggest lie. That's a lie from the enemy. And that's the enemy trying to keep you far away from God and wanting to keep you at a distance, because God doesn't want distance between you and him. He wants closeness. So let's just make this a year where we can say, like Job, man, I had heard about God before that year, but now I've seen him, I know him. So we're going to just worship and just take some time. And I just want to encourage you guys to decide, like, all right, I don't want to live on breadcrumbs. I don't want to live on rumors of hearsay. I want to know God. So take that step forward, whatever that looks like for you tonight, toward God, because you can trust and know that he's taking that step towards you. Let's know God. Let's not know about him. There's going to be leaders spread out through the room. Leaders, you can go now. And if you feel like you want to talk to somebody about something, or you want to get prayer, you're like, you just want to be like, I've been living just knowing about God, and I want to know God. Man, I'd encourage you to go and talk to a leader about that. Get prayer. But all of us, let's just go for it. Let's seek to know God, to experience him, and not just know about him.